This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
The fact that Mark Vientos was not in that lineup yesterday.
Vogelbach is a pretty good option, too. He's good. Can't play two guys at third base.
Vogelbach has been awful. Vientos comes up, changes the game on Wednesday night, and you respond by putting Vogelbach right back in that lineup? That is disgusting.
You'll get some at-bats and see if he can continue to do it. We all take one day and make a big thing out of it. That's okay. It's a good start. We're happy for him.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You think no, I think yes.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 7 o'clock hour. I mean, this is a big hour. This is a free it up, get it right off your chest with the morning roast. At 7:45, this portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast, huge locations in Paramus, in Hackensack, and Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. You know, in hearing that sound from Buck again, actually, I'm like more annoyed by it because it almost sounds like he's being condescending in the way he answers. I mean, hits a home run. Good for him.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm the manager. I know what I'm doing. I say yes. You say no. Show me the one Mets fan that's going to call today and say that they were happy that Vientos wasn't in the lineup and Vogelbach was.
You think no, I think yes.
It feels like he's talking down to people, and no one is questioning whether he knows more about baseball. It just, this one move is, I think, puzzling to almost everybody.
Yeah, I think everyone universally that watches the Mets and cheers for the Mets did not like the move.
You bring up Vientos. He clubs a home run to dead center, and the thought on the next day is, not going to play him? Why?
Because he knows better, and he likes the matchup better. He likes Vogie against the righty.
I don't know.
At what point, if you're Buck, do you be like, hey, Vogue? I mean, I go to bat for you. I put you in the lineup, and this is how you repay me.
Can you get on base ever?
Can you do something for me? I'm trying to help you out here, buddy.
It's the gap, something.
Like I pinch hit. I had you pinch hit the night before. You didn't take the bat off your shoulder. Now I'm going to bat with you. Everyone wants Vientos. I say no. I'm going with Vogie, and this is how you repay me. Come on, man.
You can't even get him to touch the baseball. By the way, what time do you wake up at 2:30, right?
Yeah.
When you woke up, was the hockey on?
Was the hockey on at 2:30? No, I don't think so.
It had already ended? Because it went four full overtimes last night.
Yeah, they scored. Matt Tkachuk scored right at the very end of,
with like 15 seconds left of the fourth overtime.
Yeah, Burns tried to go up the wall. And probably should have went behind the net with it, but I mean, those guys were gassed. I played in one of those games. It's not easy.
So let's figure out, because I saw as they were going into double overtime, and they were going into double overtime. It was probably around 11:20, and I was like, I can't continue this. That game had, I mean, then you have it's really in essence a full game, three more periods.
Yeah, three more periods, no commercials though.
Right, but that's
so you're not getting the breaks.
That had to. I wonder if the game was on when you woke up.
It might have been. I didn't even think to check.
Well, why would you?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't wake up at 2:30 and be like, I wonder if game one of the Eastern Conference Finals is still taking place right now.
No, I didn't expect that. That's what happens though sometimes in these overtimes. If you don't score early, they usually end up taking a while to finish them. But I mean, you look at some of these. I was looking at this morning. Some of these time on ices. So you had, and he's been great this playoffs, Brandon Montour for the Panthers played 57 minutes, almost 58 minutes last night.
It's insane.
58 minutes.
That's insane. What were the shots on goal in this game last night?
The shots on goal were Carolina had 65 and Florida had 60.
Yeah, I would have actually thought more.
I think my game that went to four overtimes had I had 80.
Yeah, that's what I would kind of expect, something in that number. So this I thought was interesting, and the K-Show got into this big yesterday. We didn't even discuss it. I didn't really think it was all that big a deal, but, you know, Don, of all people, was very, very bothered by it. Anthony Oliva tweets in, by the way, said the game ended right around 2 o'clock.
So right just before I woke up.
Right. And that is Pete Alonso the other day during the walk-off interview.
And hey, thanks for coming out, guys. Let's go Mets.
So let's bleeping go Mets. And Don, and I don't think he's wrong. It didn't even really occur to me, though, is really bothered that he was cursing. You know, he's got little kids. Now, I wanted to kind of direct this towards you because, I mean, honestly, be honest with you, we curse all the time in my house. Like, all my kids are 12 and 16, and at this point, they've heard it all. I'm a curser, and that's just how it is. Now, I wouldn't be okay if they curse in school or anything like that, but they curse around the house, fine, right? Well, not a big deal to us. Don had a problem with it. He has five-year-old kids. Now, you have two kids, three kids in that range, actually, right, that you're probably unhappy if there's cursing around. Did you have a problem with Alonso cursing in his walk-off interview?
Did I have a problem with it? No, because that's kind of Pete's, let's effing go Mets is kind of his thing.
Okay.
And I'm almost at the point now where, now I wouldn't do it. I got in trouble. I'll never forget. I was in a scrum in the locker room, not knowing I was being videotaped. I was on camera. And I called the reporter an a-hole.
Well, that's different, though.
Right, but I didn't know I was on television, and I got yelled at. My wife yelled at me because I came into the wise room, and she's like, what the hell's wrong with you? I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, you can't swear on TV. I was like, I was on TV? She's like, yeah, you called that reporter an a-hole. I was like, oh, man, that was a mistake. But I think since the pandemic, how many times have we talked about this? Since the pandemic, like they were doing the Zoom press conferences, all of a sudden everyone started swearing. It was like it just became acceptable.
I think people are more comfortable with it. But my question, I mean, he is right now, it's fair to say, if not one of the faces, the face of the franchise, has a walk-off home run. It's a huge moment. And he does it. This is not a slip up. This is his thing, which, again, I don't really have a problem with. A lot of people seem to, though. And he says, let's bleeping go Mets. So Don really, and I'm not saying he's wrong. He says, I don't want my young kids exposed to cursing. I don't feel it's appropriate. And you know what? I think it's a fair point, although I don't necessarily agree with that point.
Well, here's the thing, though, just so everyone understands, because this was even back when Big Poppy with the whole marathon bombing.
Oh, yeah. You don't bleep with Boston or something.
Right. He dropped an F-bomb and people were upset about it. Kids and having, like, I coach all these teams. I coach my kids' hockey team, his baseball team. They do everything that their favorite players do. So there have been plenty of times in hockey locker rooms, especially just because, you know, baseball, I haven't heard it yet. But the let's effing go is a big thing in the locker room. They hear guys say it, and that's the cheer you hear. Like before you're getting ready or someone scores a big goal, it's let's effing go.
Right, as opposed to let's go, which is perfectly fine too. And you're dealing with eight-year-olds, right?
Yeah, mites.
Yeah, see, I don't. If I heard 8-year olds saying "Let's bleeping go," I think it's kind of unsettling. I don't think I appreciate that.
No, I don't like it, and I tell them I don't like it, but it's because of what they hear and their favorite player. Like they do everything that the favorite players.
Okay, so then even more so, if you have that level of influence on the youth of this country and on kids that play sports and watch you and pick up everything you're doing, don't you even owe it a little more to be respectful and appropriate?
Yes. Absolutely.
So then you do have a problem with what Pete Alonso did.
I guess I do. Yeah, but it's just kind of like, I mean, when he said it, it didn't, at the time, didn't bother me just because he's like, that's kind of his thing. But yeah, like my kid hears that. Pete Alonso's one of his favorite players. I got kids on our team that Pete Alonso's one of their favorite players, or hockey kids that hear their guy say it. And
yeah, see, I can,
like
I
Tom
can
Brady does the
that.
Same. Tom Brady does the same thing too. Like, they'll have Tom Brady, like, when he comes out, you know, he comes running out of the tunnel, getting all fired up, let's bleep and go. That's a big one right now.
It's a big one, and it feels like it's unnecessary. And I got to tell you, if I had, you know, 5, 7, 8-year-old kids, I think I probably would be upset by
that. Well, you know, they're saying it. I mean, how many people, like, how many kids have seen him say that and then are in with their buddies or, like, accidentally around their parents? Let's bleep and go.
Right. You have a cursing house? You can't, right? With three kids, eight or
no, 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 no. Yeah, like I probably slip up occasionally, but no,
you are a tremendous cursor, by the way.
I swear a lot, yeah.
You're a big, big cursor.
Yeah, it probably been in lockers my entire life.
I'm not blaming you. And again, I think they've done studies on this. They say the brightest people curse the most.
I must be very smart then.
Very, very bright.
I felt bad. You know, I actually got myself in trouble, too, because I took Milo golfing. He wanted to golf with us the other day, so I took him golfing. And, of course, he comes home, and the first thing he does is out me to my wife. He's like, Mom, did you know that every time Dad hits a bad shot, he swears? I was like, Milo, come on, man.
That's You got to sit down with him.
I told him. I did have a sit down. I'm like, buddy, this is you can't. Like it's me and the guys golfing. You can't start outing me to mom immediately.
That's a very bad look.
That's what I said to him.
Did he feel guilty? Was he like, Dad, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Or was he like, that's my mom. I need to tell her.
No, he played the role. He's like, I'm really sorry, Dad. I didn't even realize. I was like, what do you mean you didn't realize?
I wish I could have seen your face as he started. Like, Mom, Dad curses nonstop on the course when he hits a bad shot. You're like, oh, Milo, what are you doing?
It was the second. She's like, how'd it go? And that was the first thing he said. I was like, really?
But isn't that almost goes to hammer home the point more, how much it resonates with kids. That the one thing that he picked up on the most of the great dad Milo golf outing with the guys was that Dad curses a lot.
Dude, you don't even realize as a parent. Like, you're not even paying attention. You're oblivious to it sometimes, how much your kids actually are paying attention to every single thing that you do.
Every single thing you do.
Like, I saw him the other day. Like, I came in. He took a shower up in my, because we have company in town. So he took a shower up in my bathroom. And takes a shower, comes down, and I go back upstairs, and I think I was getting ready for bed a couple nights ago, and I'm looking at my stuff. I'm like, why is my stuff all over the place? So I asked him, I was like, Milo, will you? He's like, well, yeah, like you do. I put some deodorant on, and I'm like, you don't. I was like, you don't need deodorant. He's like, yeah, but you wear it. I'm like, oh, God.
Did he shave?
No, you don't. He's asking me about that already. He goes, Dad, look, I got a mustache. I'm like, no, that's not a mustache. He goes, when should I start shaving it off? I'm like, no. We're not doing that. You're eight.
Don't. I remember my dad telling me, we'll get to the calls in a second, 800-919-3776. I remember being like 8, 9 years old and asking my dad, like, Dad, I want to start shaving. He's like, you don't want to start shaving. I was like, I do. It's so cool. I want to do it. He's like, once you start, it never stops. And he could not have been more right. I can't stand shaving.
Despise it. I absolutely despise it.
That's why I have a beard. I hate shaving so much.
My dad used to shave straight razor shave every single morning.
Yep, so would mine.
And I used to think because he'd have the shaving cream on his face, I'm like, this is so cool.
And then like, when I was little, when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old, they used to take the blade out and let me put shaving cream on my face and, you know, kind of like shave it off.
Yeah, I think my dad let me do that too.
Yeah, that was cute. It was fun. Let's go to Catherine in Somers. Hi, Catherine. Good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh my gosh! Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Hold on, I'm picking you up. I'm doing well. I wanted to chime in because I just hate the cursing. I really do. I have to say it's the worst. I hear it in, you know, from kids all the time. My kids curse at home and sometimes, but it's not. They only do it when it's like. They're heated about something. Or
how old are your kids?
Something that's, all right, so I have a 16, a 17, and a 21-year-old.
Yeah, but I got it. I mean, 16, 17, 21, it can't bother you that much, does it?
No, but you know what? It's not a good look. Like, how do you feel like when you're in a grocery store and you hear young kids, like teenagers, cursing? You don't, it's not bothered? You're not bothered by it?
I don't like it.
I can't stand it. It's not a good look. And I think sometimes they forget themselves. You know, they're not at home. They're out in public. You got to watch it. My kids do, I have to say, I think that they're better out in public than they are at home. But there are so many now that it's just, it's natural. It's just dropping F-bombs in front of the elderly people.
Oh,
and
that's
I don't know. I think it's just time and place, you know. And, of course, they hear it. They hear it everywhere, you know. But I don't know. It's just, it's the next thing is going to be TV dropping the F-bomb. Because TV, even just regular TV, is out of control with the language. Like,
yeah,
I don't
the language
know why,
is definitely
so,
picked up. The language is definitely picked up. Even some of the kids' movies, even some of the kids' movies that we watch, it's like, oh,
right?
God, why do we need to say that? But yeah, you're not wrong. I get nervous like you that they get so comfortable saying it and they don't know really where they should be saying it that they accidentally will do
right.
it in school
spot.
Or something and get themselves in trouble.
Right, and they tell me all the time, oh, I don't say that. I don't say it out in public. But, you know, you never know. My daughter slips up with me all the time. And, I mean, she knows I don't like the F-bomb. It's just the one big one that's become so common now.
I understand.
You know, it's
yeah.
crazy.
I we understand. Thanks for the call, Catherine.
I love you guys.
Thank you. Well, Ray, well, you know what? She was in the middle of kind of telling us how much she likes us.
You
hung right up on her.
You said the magic words.
Yeah, but don't you have a feel?
Yeah, what are you, an analytics guy? You have no feel? You got no gut?
What are you, Joe Mazzullo?
I'm sorry. I can't unhit the button once it's already been
hit. No, I think yes.
I mean, it's like, all right, thanks so much. She's like, you know, I love you guys. And she was going to say a lot of nice things there.
Yeah, she was, and I felt bad about it because, like, I hit the button, and there's, like, a delay between the time that it's actually dropped and the time that it's actually hit. So I felt awful as I'm hearing her start to go into all that those pleasant words, and I was like, oh, God, it's going to drop now. And it's what happens.
Is this what you do when you speak to – this is what happens when you speak to women? You just hang right up?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
Catherine needed her space. She was going to say nice things about us.
And she might have said nice things about you.
Maybe she's a big Santiago
fan. She'd be the first person to say nice things on this program. So.
Okay, you know, oh, my God. Right, you really, why do you play the martyr?
So sensitive.
You're so sensitive.
I don't need to play. I don't need to play the martyr. Time. I don't need to play anything. I just sit here.
It's unbelievable. You're like my mother.
Yeah. You're always the victim, aren't you?
Always.
Always the victim.
Right, what was the things you said to me signing off the show the other day?
What?
About how terrible I looked?
But
there you go.
I don't understand. I wasn't being mean. I was concerned.
Yeah, but you said, here's the problem with what you said, though, because this is what you have a hard time with, is your delivery, is that you said, I noticed it yesterday, but I felt like today was the day to tell you.
Right. So it's all negativity behind it.
It was met with nothing but love and concern.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Alvin in the truck. Good morning, Alvin. You're next up on 98.7.
How you doing, guys? I love the show. Love the show.
Thank you.
Guys, question. Is it me, or does Buck Showalter kind of give you a Thibodeau vibe on how he's utilizing his players, on how he's sticking to them no matter what? And, you know, is it me, or is it kind of that vibe?
I don't get a Tom Thibodeau vibe from him. No, I wouldn't say that.
I get what he's saying. I understand the insinuation that it's like at a certain point.
Doesn't want to play the young guys.
Yeah, like I get being loyal, and because that's huge. I mean, that is a huge thing for any coach or manager in the locker room, is to know you have a guy that's going to protect you and that trusts you. That's big. But at a certain point, like I gave you Vogelback's main numbers. And Dave, you made the best point. Like, we wouldn't even be having these conversations. SNY wouldn't be doing, you know, post game shows for the Mets, wouldn't be giving you updates on what Ronnie Mauricio and Mark Vientos were doing if the guys up here were getting the job done.
No, you'd be excited that they were doing well, and it wouldn't really dawn on you that they should be brought up because you're winning games, and the kind of Vogelback, you know, Tommy Pham kind of guys would be producing. Escobar would be producing, but that's not the case, and that's why you're so desperate for the young guy.
Yeah, and the guy just hit a humongous two-run home run. He came up and did exactly what you asked him to do.
And you reward him by not playing him.
In the best win of the season, and how do you reward him? By sitting him down and then telling me, well, we can't play two guys at third. Well, no one ever said that, Buck. Like, no one ever said it. I mean, he could DH. Like, maybe you want to get Pete off his feet because he doesn't feel well. Have him DH.
Right. Or, you know what? Let's be fair. Why is Vogelback playing?
Especially after what you saw when you pinch hit him the night before.
Oh, he looked dreadful. So really what they're saying is, what you do the day before, the night before, has zero relevance on whether you play or not the next day.
That sounds like it, yeah.
Well, all right? Am I wrong? Because Vientos hit a moonshot to tie the game at two when you're struggling to score runs, and Vogelback had an at-bat, which, I mean, was an embarrassment.
Yeah. I mean, but that's baseball now, though.
Yeah, I guess. Teddy in Babylon. Good morning, Ted. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
I just want to chime in on that Pete Alonso situation. So I'm one of four boys that grew up in an Italian house, and cursing was just like the way we went about our days. My mom made it apparent, because one time I cursed at her by accident, and she put soap in my mouth, and from then on I never cursed in front of her again or at an adult. So I just feel like it's up to you as a parent to govern your kids and, you know, make sure they don't curse, because I have a one-year-old, and I haven't dropped that lifestyle, really. I curse in front of her, but I'm going to make it apparent to make sure she doesn't curse in front of adults and kids. And I just hope that
Teddy,
guys,
but
John
Teddy,
doesn't if, make Pete stop doing it.
Yeah, but Teddy,
I like what he does.
Okay, I know you like it. So, Teddy, so you said you grew up in a house where everyone was swearing, right? So it was acceptable as long as you didn't swear at mom or to women or whatever. But there are plenty of people, and I know people like this, that just don't, they don't swear around their kids. Like, they just don't do it. So, I mean, to your point, it's up to the parents. So you have parents that just, they don't swear. They make a decision every day to not swear in front of their kids.
We didn't used to.
Right, like, Kay doesn't use the F word. There are guys like Dan Orlovsky will be on T, like, he refuses to swear. So if that's the decision that they've made, now all of a sudden you got a bunch of athletes that are just willy-nilly dropping F-bombs and saying, you know, whatever other swear you want to talk about, and the kid sees it, as much as you're trying to teach him, oh, look, my favorite player swears, I'm going to start swearing. And you can tell them it's wrong, but that's not going to stop them. Like, when they're with their buddies hanging out, that's not going to stop them from not swearing.
No, not at all. But, it, you know, when you're with your friends, I guess, personally, my feel is you're with your buddies. You're not cursing at a parent.
And that's fine, Teddy. I completely, I completely agree with you. 100%. Like, if my kids, they're 12 and 16, if they're with their buddies and they're cursing, listen, I think it's, do I love it? No, I don't love it. I think it's understood. I think it's fine. But do I need someone who they're idolizing, if they're younger, who they're watching on TV, have a big moment in his life and think he's got a curse? Would I love that if I was a parent of little kids? I would not.
No, well, you're always trying to find stuff. I'm sure you went through this with your kids when they were younger, too. Like, you're trying to find stuff that you can watch as a family together that you're not worried about. Like, whatever, I mean, if it's swearing, it's inappropriate. Whatever it is, you're trying to find stuff like that.
Like, you would think that baseball would be a safe space, right?
Well, sports in general. Like, maybe occasionally, like, a microphone picks up someone swearing during the play, but not like a post-game interview.
Right. I'm surprised he doesn't get in any trouble for that, though. Like, you're on television. You're not allowed to
probably
curse
will.
On TV.
He probably will.
You say he probably will, but it's not like he hasn't done this before.
Maybe he's fine paying the fine. Dude, I got fined. I told you, I got a fine check in my stall for staying on the ice too long, passing out pucks to fans. I got fined for it.
That really is unbelievable.
I was like, are you kidding? Like, I'm trying to, I'm like, I always told myself I would give out as many pucks as possible, and I'm getting fined for it? Come on.
Right, you're doing everything that every fan would want you to do, and they're punishing you for it.
Right. NHL sends me a fine.
Yeah, it's amazing. Bill in Farmingdale. Good morning, Bill.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to piggyback off what you were saying about this, watching that fat guy try to swing a bat every night while you got these young kids hitting home runs in clutch spots sitting on the bench. Buck did this with Beatty when he came up. He did it with Alvarez in the beginning of when he came up. And Nito was just so bad it forced his hand a little bit. But to watch this fat guy get at bats while the young kid who's got 14 homers, if you include AAA now, sitting on the bench after he hits a clutch one the night before is getting a little ridiculous.
It's not a great look for Buck, and I'll tell you what, and thanks for the call, Bill, very lucky they won the game yesterday.
Yeah, but what is that? That's my problem with it, though. What has Daniel Vogelbach done? Like, he's not, like, he's you picked
nothing.
Him up at the deadline. He did nothing last year to the point where you're calling up, I mean, Francisco Alvarez and saying, please save us, help us, because our other options stink. Between Vogelbach and Ruff, and now we're in a spot where it's like, hey, why do you have, you should have no allegiance to this guy. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. We could sit here and dissect it till we're blue in the face, but it really doesn't make all that much sense.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
So what I stumbled upon yesterday was Pro Football Focuses, and they have the top 10 players under 25. Under 25. So here's what, and it's not easy, and I'm not trying to make you look foolish. You have three players on defense. Okay, you can write this down if you'd like. Three players on defense. You have one, two, three wide receivers, and the rest, I believe, are offensive linemen. Okay? So I think I've given you more than enough help and clues along the way. Rick, we'll start with you. Top 10 players, according to Pro Football Focus, under 25 in the NFL.
All right, I'm going to go with my man, Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner checks in at number 5. Very well done. See, nobody looks foolish. One for one. RJ.
Those are good clues you gave. That's well
I didn't
done.
Give anything away, but I at least made it not impossible.
I like it. I like what you did.
Okay.
All righty. As you would say, I'll play your game. And I'll play the receiver game. How about Jamar Chase?
Jamar Chase checks in just ahead of who Rick went with. He's number four. Raymond, two off the board, eight remain.
I'll go with the second defensive player, an obvious one, my guy Micah.
That's Lawrence Taylor! That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't know what the Lawrence Taylor sound drop has to do with Micah Parsons, but Micah Parsons is number one.
Micah Parsons in my belly ache. Can't go, I can't get to the quarterback. My belly ache.
I think that was me.
That was you. Yep.
I don't remember when that was, but I'm pretty sure that was me. So Parsons, Chase, Gardner, all off the board. Seven remain. We go back to the top. Rick, top all 10 players Pro Football Focus's under 25 years of age.
All right.
Okay.
I'll see your Jamar Chase, and I will raise you one Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson, highest on the board, number two.
Yes.
Wide receiver at Minnesota Vikings. You got three, and you got six through 10. And all right, RJ.
I feel like now it gets hard.
Harder. Now remember, I said there were three receivers. You've taken off two.
There's one left. There's four O-linemen.
I said there were three defensive players. You've taken off two. I said the rest are offensive line.
All right. Well, I'm gonna take a shot here. Maybe this is how you found this list. How about Andrew Thomas?
You know what? You are no dummy. I found it on a Giants website. Andrew Thomas, number 10.
Well played, RJ. You got into Dave's head.
Yeah,
you didn't. Scary place to be.
You didn't just get it right. You went right in my brain and detected where I got it from, how I got it, and why we're doing it.
Here's my concern. By the time it gets back to me, I think I'm in trouble.
Maybe Andrew Thomas, number 10. Raymond,
it's troubling because RJ, he took my answer and he took my logic towards getting there. I totally believe that Andrew Thomas was going to be a reason for this list.
You know what you realize doing this segment? That I'm completely transparent.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which is why I said what I said in break.
Stop it.
I'll stick with offensive linemen. What about Rashawn Slater?
He might go out to dinner by himself, but boy, does he have a lot of football knowledge. Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, number eight. So no one has gotten one wrong as of yet. The top available one is three. I got six. I got seven. I got nine. One skill position player left. Rick?
So I got one skill position player left. I have, what, one defensive player left, you said?
You have one defensive player. You have two offensive linemen. And then, yes, one skill position player.
Who?
I will. Can I give a clue? It's the beginning of the round. Can I give a clue?
Yeah, you can give a clue.
All right. One of the offensive linemen was mentioned, I believe, within the last 48 hours on the show.
Tristan Wirfs.
Tristan Wirfs is number three.
Yes.
Offensive lineman, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. RJ, 6-7-9. Staring you right in the eye.
So I mentioned I didn't feel good when it would come back around.
And?
I stand by that. All right, I'm going to take a chance with the last receiver. I feel okay about it, not great. Jaylen Waddle.
Jaylen Waddle means that RJ Santillo is the first eliminated in the top 10 players under 25.
This list stinks.
It's now a mano a mano between Raymond and Rick. Now, mind you, Ray, you get this wrong because Rick has already gotten one in this round. He wins.
All right, one more time. Give me the positions that are left.
I have an offensive lineman.
Oil drill.
I have a defensive player, and I have a skill position player.
Wow. Jaylen Waddle seemed like a safe
guess. You want to guess Jaylen Waddle again?
No. He seemed like a safe guess. So
I would not guess Jaylen Waddle.
Yes. I don't know that that's an elite guess.
At least I proved I wasn't cheating in this game.
I'm drawing a blank on young receivers. It's not going to be a young running back. So
All right. When all else fails, go Homer. How about CeeDee Lamb? Where's he?
CeeDee Lamb, Raymond, keeps you alive. He's number nine from Oklahoma. CeeDee Lamb. We go back. Now it's 6-7. And I will add to the hints now. Look no further with both than the AFC West.
AFC West, you said I got one defensive player and I got one what off one offensive lineman.
I got
left?
One offensive lineman and I got one player in the back of the defense.
Oh, that was a nice little hint because that was one of the guys I think I was thinking about. All right, now I'll play you a little game. How about a corner in the AFC West? How about Patrick Surtain?
Patrick Surtain means that he cannot lose. Number 7.
Yes, baby.
Now, Raymond for the tie.
I just pulled the Pete Alonso in here. I was cursing up a storm.
Because was that your guy?
I was ask RJ. The AFC West hit, like, totally opened the door for me.
Were there children listening to your cursing barrage?
I don't believe so.
Good. Okay. Number 6, AFC West, offensive line.
AFC West offensive line.
Yep.
And I already took Rashawn Slater, so it's not him.
That's correct. He's not on twice.
Oh, no.
Try Jalen Waddle.
No.
Yes.
Sharp hat.
No, sharp hat.
Sharp hat's in a moment.
Sharp hat's next.
Oh, we got something wrong with us.
Yeah.
Who am I forgetting out there? Yeah, see, in the West.
Oh, it's an offensive lineman, you said, right?
No, it's an offensive lineman, but I can't think of a really good offensive lineman that's left out there.
Well, young offensive lineman.
I'm going to feel stupid when it's brought up.
No, I don't think it's... Listen, to not get this is not embarrassing, but you know who he is.
Can I get another hint?
I can't because now we're in the same round, unfortunately.
Tell me if
unless,
I'm right,
unless
David.
Unless Rick says okay.
David, tell me if I'm right, though, because I have a name that... And the only reason I know it is because of a podcast that I listen to.
But how can I tell you right?
Well, no, tell me. I'm going to give a hint to Raymond.
Why don't you text me?
Is there a movie? A recent movie came out in the title.
Yes.
Yep.
That doesn't help me at all. doesn't help me at all.
And later, maybe he plays for the Chiefs. I'm going to go with the Chiefs and later. What happened? What happened to me in that moment, you think?
I'm not sure.
Was that a Friday?
It's probably what's happening to me right now.
Like a TIA or something?
Was that a Friday around like 8:45-ish?
Yeah, it probably was. It's a good point. You know, it probably was. It definitely was.
Yeah, Rick and I.
It's Friday at 9:45, actually.
Rick and I are entering the danger zone.
Oh. We got another little bit before you guys completely fall apart.
It just came to me. This guy's on the list?
Wait, I don't know, right?
Is he a center?
Why don't you make a guess?
Is it Creed Humphrey?
It is Creed Humphrey.
Wow, Raymond.
Why is it Creed Humphrey?
What do you mean, why is it Creed?
Awesome.
He's a good player.
He's really good, but top 10?
Listen, I didn't make the list. I'm just enticing you guys with the list. And there you have it. So we have a tie for the winner, although it felt like Rick was a little better. But Rick won. Raymond, a very close to RJ, somewhat not great.
You could have given me a million years without hints, and I would never have gotten that.
Ever?
The only reason I knew it, in all honesty, was because I listened to that the Kelce Brothers podcast, and at one point, Travis asked Jason, like, do you watch me play? He goes, I really pay more attention to Creed Humphrey because he's great than I do.
Oh, I like that. That's a shot right at his brother.
And it's a good point because, like, having a really great center makes a tremendous difference for an offensive. And if you've already got Pat Mahomes and Kelce and all those weapons that they have, like, having a great center takes it over the top.
So I'll ask you now. A, do you think that the intent of that list was to embarrass anybody? And B, did you enjoy the list?
I did enjoy it.
Okay. Yes,
I will
on
tell
both.
You that. Enjoy. I
you
I
thought
still
it was too embarrassed?
I still say there's a little bit of a schadenfreude with you in
really?
That list.
Yeah.
No.
There's a little bit.
No, I think he saw the list because Andrew Thomas was on it and he got interested. He
that's
wants to
what
talk
piqued his interest. That's
well,
what
yeah,
piqued
but
his
you know
interest.
What? But I thought it was interesting. This is the next generation. These are the young great players in the NFL.
I like the list, and no, I did not think you were trying to embarrass me.
Yeah, and I thought I gave you appropriate clues that you weren't completely lost. I thought it was fun. You know what? I can't win with anybody. I'm sorry. All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You want to know who won? Speaking of which, good center, Raymond. Good center is important. How about a good GM? Did you see the video of Shane and Dable in the draft room?
It's funny you would mention that. I saw it existed. I put it into my saved items, and I will watch it later today. Is it wonderful?
You're gonna love it. Oh, you're going to love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, because at the time, as the draft started to unfold, they wanted Schmitz and they wanted Hyatt.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden a trade happened, and it was it Chicago that jumped over him?
I don't know.
I think it doesn't
matter. So somebody jumped over him.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, no. We're going to – and Shane thought one of those guys was going to go, and Dave was like, listen, it's fine. We'll get one of the two. No biggie. And then they didn't take either of the two, so Giants end up getting the center, and then Dable goes to work, calls McVay, gets that deal done, and they get both. Rather than just one, they get both. And then Shane's joking around with Dable. He's like, Dabes, your first trade. He starts calling you Trader Dabes.
I love it.
Yeah, it was
so
awesome.
So it's obvious that they really like each other.
Dude, yeah, like just the, like, Joe Shane, I think, is a lot cooler guy than, like, because he seems like real... Like, he's, like, real buttoned up. But it seems like him and Dable, and, like, he's got, like, that guy, a really good personality. It was... You should watch the video. You'll like it.
I'm going to. It's in my saved items. All right, explain to people what the morning roast is so we can get started.
Morning roast. So you pick up your phone, very easy, 1-800-919-3776, and this is your opportunity. Whatever's on your mind. Is it, you know, Mark Vientos didn't play? You want to yell and scream about Buck? That Pete sweared? That Dave is...
Swore. I think he swore.
He swore. What did I say?
Sweared.
I did say that?
Mm-hmm.
That's not great.
hey, thanks for coming out, guys. Let's go Mets.
That Raymond's so nasty to Dave and I, if that bothers you. Anything that's bothering you right now that you feel like could screw up your weekend.
You know what? I think that is a thing. I believe we didn't get to the call because it was off topic at the time. But RJ, you can attest to this. Didn't someone call saying they don't like the way you and Ray are kind of treating me and Rick?
No, he called and said that he doesn't think that Ray and I are fully committed to the show, which is quite the hefty, might even be worse. That's half the quite the hefty allegation.
Question your commitment. I think that's as bad as it gets.
That might be worse.
I don't know how you can question the commitment of people that wake up at 3 a.m. I don't think that's right.
You know, it's just your lack of, I don't know, something with
all in this
the show going. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't
again, you have the nerve to throw out a question like, well, if MSG came to you and said it's us or them, well, yeah, what do you think I'm going
to
do?
Well, we want you to pick us.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Okay, listen, the show's fun and everything, and I enjoy doing it, but I do have to take care of myself, too.
Right, but that's like if your wife asked if all of a sudden Selma Hayek showed up and was like, hey, it's me or your wife. I mean, your wife's not going to want you to say Selma Hayek.
Well, it's a good thing I don't have a wife, is it?
Oh, no.
See, he can't play hypothetically. You can't play hypothetical with this guy.
Not for nothing.
All right, you know what, Raymond? Can you press the button that starts the morning roast at least?
Yeah, sure, why not?
This is why I'm hot. Is the morning roast.
All right, the morning roast is brought to you by Sharp Hat. I might say the word Sharp Hat in between each roast. Sharp Hat. Sharp Hat, Sharp Hat. All right. Anybody of the four of us have something they need to want to get off their chest right away?
I'll start.
Rick, please.
I'll set the table.
All right.
All right. So I was going through a couple different things. I was going to bring up maybe the LIV Tour, having two of their best players going at it down the stretch and all of a sudden cutting to reruns on the CW.
What did you say the show is? Like the third season of Penn & Teller.
Penn & Teller. Yep, animal style. Oh, you have the Goldbergs, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go with something that happened last night, and it made me mad and angry.
Oh, no.
Was the Toronto Blue Jays pitching coach, Pete Walker. How about you shut your mouth? Stop yelling at Luis Rojas to the point where Aaron Boone got so frustrated that he started yelling, told him that he's crazy, and sit the bleep down. How about you, Pete Walker, do a better job with your pitching staff so they're not tipping their pitches? So you don't have to worry about Luis Rojas and where he's standing at third base. And then your team just got bludgeoned by the Yankees. You do a better job. Shut your mouth.
Go.
Sit down.
Aggressive. Right after Pete Walker.
Sit down, Pete.
I like it. You know, I have one word to say to that.
What?
Sharp Hat.
Yep.
All right. Since he went, I'll go. I'll go next. I'll save you guys for last. How about that? I would like to roast. Well, before we even start this roast, Raymond, can you play this for me?
Me and James, we just can't win alone.
I mean, you're the MVP of the league, Joel Embiid. And the reason this resonates more now is because I watched the guy that was the MVP before you not once but twice over the last couple nights. And you know what? He was sensational. Absolutely wonderful. And Nikola Jokic, oh, by the way, is averaging, mind you, averaging a triple-double in this postseason. Not he's gotten it once or twice. On average, he goes for a triple-double. And you don't hear him in the postgame. I mean, I need help from Jamal, who was awesome last night, by the way, or Aaron Gordon or Michael Porter, or somebody has to step up. You know what? Because in the biggest moments, the great players typically want the ball and step up. And Joel Embiid, and he's a wonderful player and had a great regular season. But let's be honest now. In the postseason, Joel Embiid was nowhere near what Jokic has been. I think we all know who the better player between those two is right now. I think we all know. Embarrassing. It can't just be me and James. Well, how about if you guys do something? Because they were both awful in Game 7 of that series against the Celtics. All right. That's my roast. Had to get that off my chest. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Dave in Waterbury. Would like to roast someone on the show. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, guys. First-time caller. This roast is for Rick DiPietro.
Oh, go ahead.
He got scout great tickets to a Mets game, and the best game of the year, and left early, and he says it's because his son. You deserve flack for that. You can't be a diehard Mets fan, go to a game, and leave before the game ends. Your son might have had a stomachache. I guarantee you he didn't throw up. He was fine. You sit there and you rub his tummy as a good parent would.
Yeah, and that's what a good parent would do. You're right.
Yeah. And he would wait.
You're the perfect father. That's what you do. No, you sit and suck it up so I can watch the game and rub your belly. You're an idiot, Dave.
Yeah.
No, you're an idiot.
Did he throw up?
Luckily, no.
It wasn't that bad.
Oh, right.
All kids get stomach aches. You didn't go to the hospital. You went home, and he went to sleep. So he was fine. And also, Ray Santiago is the man of the people. He is your regular New Yorker. He works two jobs. He does everything on his own. And he doesn't have anybody to call to help him. He does everything the right way. I am an Eagle fan saying that.
All right, goodbye. We're done. Thanks, Dave. We're done. We're done.
He could keep going.
No. It was all fun and games until this guy admitted his Eagle fandom.
Appreciate you, Dave.
He worked hard. All right. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. He can keep going. So Rick hates him and you love him.
Of course. Of course.
Listen, I wasn't necessarily agreeing with the take of the child having the stomach ailing. Like, listen, the kids get sick and you can't take that chance. So I agree with Rick on that point, but I'm glad I let him keep going.
You're wrong, Raymond. When you have kids, a good dad would sit there and just rub his tummy and pray to God that he doesn't projectile vomit like the Exorcist all over people.
We don't want that. We don't.
Because God forbid I leave a regular season game, not knowing whether or not they're going to come back, but I'll risk it.
All right, let me ask you this. Let me ask
that's
you
what
a serious
good parents
question
do.
If you knew what was going to happened. Would you have rubbed the belly and told him, lie down, we're staying for the game?
If I knew he wasn't going to throw up?
I guarantee no vomit, and the Mets are going to have an epic victory.
Yeah, I would have stayed.
All right. Let's go James in Spring Valley. Good morning, James. You're on the morning roast. Sharp hat.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Big shout to the company. I got to roast the NBA draft lottery. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, listen, glad that Wembanyama went to the Spurs. I think it's a great fit for him. But my God, like, and especially concerning the Knicks. I mean, think about it. Dallas intentionally tanked. They only got a slap on the wrist, and they didn't even get fully punished. They lost their pick, and now the Knicks don't have any picks. The whole system of the NBA draft lottery is absolutely terrible. I hate it. And I'm not just saying this because it always messes up against the Knicks. I mean, there's no concrete way of how teams could get the number one overall pick, and they're still tanking, and the lottery system is messed up. There has to be a new way to get it done. I'm sick and tired of the NBA draft lottery, and the NFL better not do that. They better not do that. Ban the lottery. Figure out another way. Listen to Alan Hahn. He got better ideas. I think he should be in charge of how the draft order works. I'm sick of the NBA draft lottery. That's it. I'm all right.
All right, James. Thank you. I don't know what you want. So just give it to the team with the worst record?
I would
have done that, and that doesn't work.
No, because you don't want to do that, because then you're just, teams are still going to tank.
Exactly. So he doesn't like what they have, but it's not like he has an idea in place to make it better.
RJ, what did Alan say about the draft lottery? Did you get that? I didn't get the rundown of the show, so I wouldn't know the quarter hours.
Would you like the emails?
No, I don't.
I'll get you back
please don't give them to me.
I think one
of us needs to. Since you get them, maybe you tell us.
What were Han's ideas?
Alan doesn't like it. He doesn't like that the teams that are getting the youngest talent in the NBA is determined by luck.
Okay, fine. Does he have a solution?
Does he have a solution, though? I know he doesn't like it, but does he have a solution?
Listen, you would know if you got the rundowns.
Okay, well, you did. Does he have a solution?
I'm sure he has many.
This could be another job for him. Maybe it's another Han job.
That's him saying he has no idea. You have no idea what he thinks, do you?
Listen, you're just coming out of nowhere with these questions.
He doesn't like it. That's all we know. He doesn't like it.
All right, let's go to Sean in Manhasset.
He called it the worst thing in the NBA.
All right, can we please get orderly here, Sharpat? Sean in Manhasset. Go ahead, Sean.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Sean, you're going to our tailgate. It starts in Manhasset.
It's 3 blocks from my house.
If you're not there, you and I are never talking again.
Done and done, and you've been doing much better with the music intros, Dave.
Thank you.
Hey, Sean, quick question. Sean, Geno's or Umberto's?
Villa Milano, my friend.
Ooh,
Villa Milano is good. I've been there numerous
times. Hands down.
Yeah.
All right.
Best crust on Long Island. Wow. So, started a new gig in Boston. Been flying back and forth the last couple weeks. Everybody has to sit in their seat. As soon as the undo your seatbelt sign goes off, everybody's up grabbing their crap, trying to jump over you. If you got a connecting flight to Guatemala, I get it. Outside of that, do not go past 21C where I'm sitting. Stay where you're waiting for and then get off. You've been in a plane for an hour plus, 3 hours plus, you're going cross country. What is another minute and a half? Crazy, bonkers. Done with it. I don't care if you're old, young, whatever. Got to stop this stuff. And I can't wait to see you guys on the first.
Oh, can't wait. Thanks, Sean. That's a good roast. He's right. He's 100% right. The people that the second the plane lands, they immediately want to pop out and get past you. Stop it. Unless you're catching a connecting flight, you do not need to rush like that.
It drives me crazy.
Awful. Absolutely awful. You know, by the way, you're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN, WEPN FM. Where?
New York.
That's right. All right, then. Let's go with Raymond. I know you got something up your sleeve. What do you got?
Well, I was going to roast the people who leave the shopping carts out in the parking lot again, but I feel like we've done this already, so I'll skip that. You guys pointed out earlier in the show the Yankees wrapped up that series in Toronto, and we talked earlier in the week about Buck Martinez, Dan Schulman, and the job they've done. But the Blue Jays whining is not limited to the dugout or the play-by-play, even. Take a look, listen to these parting shots from SN, the Toronto Blue Jays postgame show.
So the message is cheat until you get caught.
Right.
That's the message that's being sent.
Well, I'll say this much, Ken and Ivanka, this series, unlike Herman's hands, doesn't lack substance, right?
That's all I hear.
Did he call him Kenna Volanka, by the way?
Yeah, I have no idea what he said there.
I think he was saying two names, maybe.
Right.
Oh, Ken and Volanka?
Or Ken and Ivanka?
I don't think that was the name of the two guys that he was talking to there, no. I think the host there was Jamie Campbell. He was the one who actually gave the parting shot there. I'll play it again.
What did he say?
So the message is cheat until you get caught.
Right.
That's the message that's being sent.
Well, I'll say this much, Ken and Ivanka, this series,
Ken and
unlike
Ivanka.
Herman's
Ken and
hands,
okay.
Doesn't lack substance, right?
Can we stop with the Canadians are so nice? Can we stop?
RJ, you and Rick, you hate Canadians.
No, I don't.
You hate Canadians.
No, I'm kind of with RJ here.
Has always been my stock line on them. They are us. There are nice people. There are mean people. There are people in the middle. That's where the majority are. They're the same, though. The whole, they're so nice. They're not. They're us. They're literally us.
But they love Putin.
Relax, they're also babies.
Listen, I'm not above them. They're me. We are the same. We take shots at each other. It's fun to go back and forth, but you can't play off the, oh, but we're so nice. You're not. You're
yeah, same. But you know what? What they did, honestly, and Ray, it's a really good job by you. It was audio. I didn't even have heard of it, so it's a good job. This is a post-game show. This is not like a talk show where you go just crush people. This is a post-game show where you're supposed to be professional. It sounds amateurish is what it sounds like.
Yeah, and Toronto's a major market in North America. I think it's a top 5 or 6 populated city in North America. It's not like we're talking about.
Can you imagine if Jack Curry
Green
did
Bay.
This?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like Bob Lorenz, like and how they treated us in Toronto, they're cheating. Terrible.
Yeah, we're actually above that here. See that? You can look down upon.
Yeah, and I think you should. Let's go to this could be a good one. Alvin in Secaucus. Good morning, Alvin.
How you guys doing? Listen, I'm not happy with the show, honestly. That's what I'm roasting about.
Go ahead.
I'm a loyal listener. I even tell my boss, hey, listen, I'm fully committed to the show. When they're on commercial, I'll give you a call back. But I'm not getting this from the guys in the back. I'm not getting it from RJ, and I'm not getting it from somebody else back there. They're not fully committed to the show. They're just like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. They're not really, you know, Rick and Dave, you guys are fully committed. You guys, hey, if I got to tell a story, if I'm already there, I'll say it. I don't care how I look. I'm fully committed. I will sing. I will do whatever it takes to make sure that the show goes on and everybody's happy. But from those two guys back there, I don't know, man. It's like, I don't know. I'm over here.
I
like,
understand.
Wait,
you
like,
question
you know?
It. Alvin, I think it's a good roast. I think it's a fair roast. I appreciate the roast. And what I'd like to do, after they just been called out and scorned, really, is allow them to retort. RJ and Ray, is it fair to say that neither of you guys are fully invested in the show?
Okay, I'll answer your question with another question.
Uh-huh.
What exactly, like, don't give me vague generality. What exactly do you want from us?
Okay. I think we want it to get to know you better. When we do a getting to know you segment on Mondays now, I feel like you're like a mystery here on the show.
I gave you a couple nice nuggets last time.
A couple of nice nuggets. And I also feel that you, when we have just, you know, round the table conversation, it's very hard to get you to commit to saying things.
Well, because here's the thing. There have been quite a few times where you've gone around the table and I expect you to come to me and I have something and then you just totally bypass me.
Well, you know what? Pop right in.
No, because you get mad when I do that, too.
You pop right in.
You start yelling. It's actually kind of scary. It's trauma.
Oh, yeah, I'm terrifying you. Yeah, I'm sure.
You are a terrifying person.
I'm sure.
So I can't tell with you. You say you want something, but you really don't.
You know what? Alvin realizes it. He picks up on it. You're not all in. Let yourself go. Let yourself love.
I want all you, Raymond.
Respond to that.
Again, you're just throwing buzzwords out there. That doesn't mean anything.
Stop it. There's no buzzwords. We want all of you. I got the big sausage. I want to know how it's made. That's what I want.
Rick tells you he went to the doctor. He's not well. Goes to the Mets game. The ins and outs. You give us nothing. Give us. Open up and give us.
I don't want just the tip. I want all of it, Raymond. You two say. You two, RJ.
RJ, what do you say to that accusation by Alvin?
I think it's unfounded. I stand by Ray, and I think, listen. What do you want to know? I can tell you everything, but...
What's the name of the baby?
I can't tell you that. It's one thing I can't tell you. I'm more scared of my wife than you, so I'll be honest about that.
How many kids you plan to have?
I think 2 is a nice number.
Two is a nice number.
We'll get through 1.
How much money are you making nowadays?
Different discussion.
Well, now you're asking crazy questions,
yeah.
David.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to see how far, in fact, I could push it.
You
test
found
your
it.
Boundaries.
Yep, you found it.
I hit nail it right on the head, huh?
Yep, you really did.
Okay, let's go to PBM, Purple Belt Mike. Good morning, PBM.
First of all, RJ and Santi, you guys are linchpins, and everybody loves you. Anyway, I'm going after the people that are talking bad about the Jets. I saw something online. They're going to lose 5 of their first 6 games. You got Andy and Merrick talking smack. Andy, the only thing that you should roast is some damn vegetables. Get the Jets name out your mouth. Let's go Jets, baby.
Wow. Why?
It was a fat shot at Andy.
It was, and it was nicely produced. But why is there such, like, you are relevant. You should be good. You have tons of talent. What are you so concerned with people are saying about you? Go prove them wrong.
Well, unfortunately for PBM, he doesn't play for the Jets, so he can't actually go prove people wrong.
Well, the Jets can.
He wants a little respect. That's all he wants.
Well, you know what? You've been the laughingstock of the NFL for a long time, right? You have the longest streak of not going to the postseason. So there are a lot of people, and I'm not saying it's founded, but a lot of people that don't think you're going to be able to get it done. Go out there, and I'm not saying PBM or you specifically, but the players, the organization, go prove them wrong.
I don't disagree. But come on, one in five, if they start 1-5,
oh
first
my
six,
God,
come on.
The sky would be crumbling. Like Manhattan is, the sky would be. Let's go to Dan in Mamaroneck. Dan, you're on the Morning Roast.
Morning, everybody. Love the show, but Dave, you're coming after Ray for not opening up. But just this past Monday, he tries to get into his childhood about the phenomenal movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, 90s version, and you rip him. You rip him for getting into a childhood nostalgia piece, which also, to this point, does hold up. And furthermore...
I can't hear him anymore.
Oh, he's dropped out.
But I
he was on a roll.
Conveniently dropped out. Here's what I will say. If Ray has a take or an opinion or something, now I just have to sit there and take it. I can't criticize anything.
You won't
says.
Even let me finish the take. Is you won't even let me start the take.
Go ahead. The floor is yours. Ray.
I don't have one right now. I don't have one now.
You love it.
But the next time I do, it's a guarantee that when I start speaking, you're going to jump down my throat.
So
screaming.
Here's how it works. So if you open up and tell people something and I don't like it and or agree with it and I go after it, now you're going to shut down like a turtle?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm just saying, like, if you want me to chime in, like allegedly you say that you do, allow me to at least get a word in before you jump down my throat.
Is there anything right now that you would like to say?
I just got done telling you no.
Okay.
Stay out of Raymond's throat.
Don't talk to me like that. RJ?
All righty. I think we can all relate to this. At least most of us.
Have you heard about this bean in Chicago?
Listen, I think that was, like most true geniuses, as Greeny says, it won't be appreciated till after my time. You'll see that bean one day, be like, you know what? RJ, what's right?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Well, so if you've ever gone somewhere with a group of people, like I was, my cousin's bachelor party over the weekend.
You didn't really share much about the bachelor party with us.
Yeah, you know why?
No.
A lot of it can't be shared.
Oh.
So if you've ever been somewhere with people you don't know all that well, a lot of times, at least for me, I think most guys are this way, everyone just kind of keeps a roundabout way of keeping pace with what everyone else is spending. Okay, you got this, I'll get this. You don't really sit down and hammer out, you know, dollars and cents, but...
Oh, no.
Am I wrong here? There's a roundabout way of kind of keeping pace, and in your mind, okay, I haven't paid for anything in a while.
Yeah, like you'll pick up one thing, they'll pick up another. You might spend a little more, they might spend a little more, but at the end of the day, it's negligible, right?
Yeah, as long as you're at the end of the day within, I don't know, whatever.
Right.
So, there was a person.
You had a freeloader.
There was a freeloader. Hopped in Ubers, jumped on tabs. Really anything that was available to be jumped on. He jumped. Here's the problem, though. No one's really going to call you because we don't know you. So in order to get fair value, somebody would have to truly call you out. No one did that. So everyone, I'm not going to say took it on the chin. We all forked over a little bit more money than we really needed to over the course of 4 days. This wasn't one round of beers and we're out for a couple hours. You're talking four days.
Why, though, did no one at any point say, Steve, you haven't paid for a thing?
So, I think no one, at least from my perspective, you don't want to ruffle the feathers of the trip. Everyone else, super cool. Even this guy, who I won't mention. I think he actually lives around here. Listen, if that's you, or if this is you and your group, just take a moment to reflect that no one likes what you're doing. They may not even like you. But at least pay your way.
Why was this guy even there?
I didn't make the list.
So he's friends with your cousin.
Yeah, obviously, he was there for free stuff. I mean, it worked out nicely for him. He'll never see us again except at the wedding. Then we go our separate ways. For him, he got, he saved a few $100.
You got to confront, you have to confront him at the wedding.
We were leaving the bar one night. He goes, because there are so many guys, you kind of leave and you move in waves because there's 12 of us. He goes, oh, I'll hop in your Uber. I didn't invite you. I don't need you to hop anywhere. Stay where you are.
So he never picked up any drinks or any cars?
He paid when we chop things, like when you go golfing. You got to pay your greens fee, right? There's no way to cheat that. What? Oh, I'll take it. Yeah, you need something? I didn't ask. I didn't ask if you needed a beer. But sure, you can get one. Whatever you need, buddy.
All-inclusive really? Trip for him.
He had a great time.
He's the winner.
So let me summarize this. You went on an all-guys trip and you took it on the chin is what you're saying.
Should have known.
Yep. All right, I think that's it. Sharp at.
Yes. Very well played, RJ. That's the morning roast, which comes to a very abrupt halt, brought to you by anybody? Anybody?
Sharp hat.
Yep. Game-changing custom software.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.